Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
You can't scream on the horn. Where can you scream? Isn't that catchy? Head On Radio Network, horn. Clever, aren't we? Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Glad to have you along. If you've got something on your mind, by all means, share it with us. We all benefit from the discussion. We benefit from the dialogue. That's what this is all about. I'm sitting right here behind the fabulous, well, one of these days we'll have enough money to get this microphone gold-plated, but you know, for now we'll do with it as it is. The lovely Agnes is at the controls to the heart of the sun, and it's about 7 minutes after the hour as we begin tonight's program. Okay, first of all, there, that's better. Look, you know, you remember the old game shows? You know, we're going to put you in the soundproof booth now. We've tried. God knows we've tried, but I think we're going at it from the wrong direction. We're in the soundproof booth. We need to put the little munchkins in the soundproof booth. You know, with lots of stuff to play with, but you get the idea. So, you know, from time to time, little munchkin noise will creep across the microphone, but you know, what are you going to do? At any rate, six different ways from Sunday to begin tonight's program. The stock market took a tumble today. And that's worth noticing. Interesting bit of data concerning our bond status. That's also out there. But last, you know, just because I like to sort of keep things flowing from one night to the next, you know, granted it ain't Dallas, but you know there is a cereal quality to this, I suppose. I prefer Cheerios. Last night we talked at some length about these zany, wacky, money-spending CIA agents in Italy, you know, going about the tasks of kidnapping people and sending them to places where, you know, they can be tortured and we don't have to be bothered with it. And the Milan, Italy police tracked these CIA agents, tracked them. Watched them. We're able to piece together an entire history of exactly where all of these little crooks, these little thugs, these little CIA monsters went. And, you know, look, our intelligence services are important, but, you know, when it's down to this level of sleazy filth like the stuff we used to criticize the Soviet Union for, I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to get behind that. Hey, look, you know, we have to balance a budget here in the Kincaid House every month, so I take umbrage at people who run around spending my tax dollars, $150,000 at a pop for five-star hotel rooms in Milan while they're running around trying to nab an Egyptian cleric. I take umbrage at that. I take umbrage at them landing their government 737 on the airstrip at Mallorca and spending days on end playing golf and getting massages at a hotel where the rooms, you know, no food included, no nothing. I mean, you know, maybe you steal the soap and the towels, but $1,000 a night. And doing this for several people and shacking up, you know, the guy and girl CIA agents shacking up and just having a, you know, this is not Austin Powers and, what was the Elizabeth Hurley character? Yes, dear.
Austin Powers and The Spy Who Shagged Me?
No. What was her, well, we can't remember.
Oh, she was a fembot.
Well, ultimately she was a fembot. We know that. But anyway, this is not that. Where they're sitting there and, what melons? You know, that was funny. This ain't funny. again, it's a classic case of people in Republican administrations who watch things that are meant to be funny and take them seriously. We can add Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, to that list now. A shoe? Honestly, who throws a shoe? These guys did. They have no sense of humor. They're dull and they're sad and they're sort of lifeless and I'm sorry. What? Okay, you want the analogy? Here's the analogy. The CIA has Colonel Flagg running around doing its bidding. You remember Colonel Flagg from MASH? You didn't see me in this garbage can. Remember Colonel Flagg? We had a team of 22, maybe 50 Colonel Flaggs running around Italy, trying to kidnap 50 to 1! 50 to 1! We got CIA agents running around Italy trying to catch one Egyptian dude. Okay? My God, and it turns out, last night I'm talking, and it's all how did they put this together? This is the CIA, this is the cloak and dagger people. Well, it turns out, it turns out they were able to put together a complete map of these clowns' movements because, again, this is from the Chicago Tribune, reprinted in New York Newsday. The CIA operatives who ran around Milan and ran up a hell of a bar tab and a nice hotel tab, and they were able to be tracked because they didn't know to use a tactic that is known to just about every single low-rent, two-bit street punk that's running around out there. Memo to the CIA. Now, do you remember the report last night? There were up to 59 different cell phones used. How could they know that? How could the Milan Police Department know that? Well, each cell phone gives off a discrete and individual blip periodically just to let the cell phone tower know where the phone is. So service can be, it's about all those bars. And every low-rent street punk knows that when you're not using the cell phone, you pull the battery out so that it won't blip. But not the CIA. Oh, no, not our CIA. No, they were just... They were walking... It's Boris and Natasha stuff. Look, Moose and Squirrel have not removed battery from cell phone. Just walking around letting the Italians track them. And you know, every now and then some liberal wiseacre will pop up and go, wonder why they ain't found Osama yet. You know, one of us well-meaning, well-intentioned, progressive, upstanding, good, decent human beings, we're the United States, for God's sakes. We should be able to find 1 6-foot-6-inch rail-thin Arab dude carrying around a portable dialysis machine. Or not. Or not. Because they don't even have the street savvy of a guy who's out, who's out hustling bogus Rolexes in the alleys in New York City. Oh my God! And we're paying for it. Ouch. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Tuesday on the island. Not much going on. The parties are all over. They ended just past dawn. The jungle drums are beating with the tales from late last night. The story's very heating for everyone's delight. You can hear them on the coconut telegraph. Can't keep nothing under their hat. You can hear.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. And hey to the gang in the Tom Hartman chat room. We always enjoy having you guys come by for the show. And many thanks to Tom for the kind usage of his facilities. Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. And in the first 10 minutes, my gracious, it's like... It's information overload.
we're not even started yet.
It's almost more than I can process, and I want to fight back with a piece of knowing that you guys play some great music. I want to fight back with some pop music trivia.
All right.
Who is Daryl Dragon?
Daryl Dragon, son of Carmen Dragon, of the conductor of the Paramus Philharmonic, also known as the captain of the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, my Lord, I didn't know about Paramus, but yes, you're right, and we'll get back to that incredibly, incredibly trenchant answer that was exactly right in just a moment. Now then, we got an important point and a housekeeping detail. First, important point.
Okay.
Last night, our good friend, our incredible friend, Jim, nailed it. You've provided, since you've done the show, Bob, you have provided... enough information that if we had nothing else in the way of descriptive, honest information about what the Republicans are about, we now have enough. If there were no more from this moment on, Lord knows they'll give it to us, but if there were no more from this moment on, we have more than enough to vote the scoundrels onto a penal colony island, never to be seen again. Wayne's got it absolutely figured out. Let's stop informing. Let's start voting. Let's find out who is on our side, who isn't, and let's get something done about it.
Yeah, let's, and for that matter, hit the streets, David.
Hit the streets. Talk to your neighbors. I think one of his favorite phrases is an old Serbian catchphrase about embolden.
Yes.
We got to grow both of them.
Right. And carry them in wheelbarrows.
I don't know that we want to go that far, but we want to make sure that we're active and we're proud. To paraphrase James Brown, we're Democrats and we're proud.
Yeah.
Let's stop pussyfooting around about it. George Bush and everybody under his flag is a thief and a liar and a cheat and a killer.
Crook.
Thank you. And we need to become active, and we need to become voters that pull other voters off the sofa, out of the house, down to the voting place. And if we need to argue with somebody, and if you don't convince them today, there'll be another election a year after the one in 06, and a year after that one, and a year after that one. If you don't get them this year, lay the groundwork for next year. We've got to stop. Well, we're fine. We preach to each other, great. But we've got to start preaching to the ones that might be undecided, might be laboring in ignorance. I've heard people that couldn't get enough of George Bush a year ago expressing doubt. They're beginning to let the door open just a little. So let's help them swing it wide open and let the fresh air of progressive thought do something for them.
Yeah, oxygen just does wonders when it goes to your brain. All kinds of things happen, David. You start thinking. And now the one thing we have to be aware of. You talk about the doors open a little bit with some of those Bush voters. You got to be a little bit wary of that, David. Simply because I've heard this. You know, I've got a few people that are sort of Bushistas, and they'll say things like. Well, you know, I voted for Bush because I hated John Kerry's guts, that pinko commie coward, and just couldn't bring myself to vote for him. But listen, George Bush, don't make any mistake, George Bush is not a true conservative. We still have not had the conservative vision for America carried out in this country. What we really need is a good conservative Republican. That ain't going to cut it.
No, we've got to fight that. We've got to fight the idea that, well, he may be wrong about, I heard a guy say it just last week. I mean, a religious wingnut. Well, he may have done badly about Iraq, and he's going to cost my son money when he tries to go to college in 2 years. But he is, after all, pro-life.
Mm.
So we've got to fight that guy, and if we don't get him this year, we get him next year. If we don't get him next year, we get him the year after that. Now, a little housekeeping detail. We have no, in the Bob Kincaid family, we have no more informed, more educated, more committed gentleman than our friend Jim.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what's going on, but there is something, some horrible juju takes over when Jim's on the radio. There's this background noise. There's this thing that happens. I don't know, maybe it's just something as simple as a second radio on in a room somewhere else. I don't, but Bob, on my little stream.
And you use the dial-up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm one of those basic street-level guys that I'm using the dial-up. But, Bob, there's a tremendous, ugly parallel. You knew who Daryl Dragon was. Muskrat Love. Bob, so many nights when Jim is on, it sounds like that horrible synthesizer solo. It's like that little muskrat's underwater doing things teenagers do in the bathtub. It tries to scream crazy, Bob.
I'm sorry Agnes had to cut me off.
Cut me off or cut you off?
Me! I was losing it. Muskrat Love.
I'm sorry, Bob. Muskrat Love, right? And I can't hear his point. I can't hear your point. It's just, you know, bubble, bubble.
God. This is like knitting the way you tied that together.
Well, it's just a thought.
Well, no, it's worth mentioning because just because we're not doing over the air radio, and you know everybody's used to it. You know, and when you come on the air, please turn your radio down. Okay, it's still it still applies. I mean, everybody, not any one particular individual. Everybody, you know, you got to turn it down, or we get exactly what you described.
If that's what it is, if it's the radio, it's just one little knob, but dadgummit, I want to hear what Jim says. The guy's been there, done that, and waxed the car he sold a few years ago with the T-shirt. I want to know what the man's saying.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, David, and the fact of the matter is, it, like I said, it applies to everyone. It applies here. I mean, we try to keep it quiet enough that we're only doing what we're doing here, and every now and then the kids get a little rambunctious in the next room, and you get some munchkin bleed over, or last night, you know, the cat went, wow! You know, it just drives... Well, we can all do our part, can't we?
Absolutely. This is a communal effort. We've all got to do our part. And one last... One last serious parting thought. Charlie Hayden is a jazz musician, bass player, been around a lot, done a lot of important stuff, and I heard him in an interview say the genesis for an album he has in the stores right now that relates to revolution and relates to America acting like the America he grew up believing in. The genesis for that album was he and a fellow named Pat Metheny walking through Spain as they were doing a European tour, and all over Spain and all over Italy, they saw the same flag with the same phrase, not in our name.
Yes.
And what a great way to think of what the Bushistas are doing in an effort to create Bushmerica. None of us want America like they see it.
No.
Not in our name. Not torture, not murder, not greed.
Not two-bit penny-ante tin-horn spy operations. None of it, David. None of it.
Not casting such a wide net that they're not even looking for the criminal. They're looking for the criminal's buddy who might establish, with 10,000 phone calls gleaned, they might be able to establish a pattern to a third world nation that could possibly lead to a link that might generate a thought that, I mean, it is so many rings of separation, it's disgusting. It's got nothing to do with America.
No. No. All right, I tell you what, we got to take a break, David. Thanks so much for all of your thoughts, and I'll never listen to Muskrat Love again the same way again, ever.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
Later. Take care. Bye now. All right, quick break, and we'll be back. The phone number, of course, the number 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
So a few of the details at 11, a few of the details about this, anybody, you know, come on, this, the generation that I'm talking to, you read, grew up reading Mad Magazine? Remember Spy versus Spy? This is that. This CIA fiasco in Milan? The list of sophomoric mistakes made in Milan begins with the operatives' indiscriminate use of their cell phones. Remember, they didn't have the good common sense to take the batteries out. One of the CIA's operatives made at least 4 calls to what appear to be friends and family in Texas.
Dubai?
Really? I wonder if they're in Crawford, Texas, the friends and family. According to the court records there in Italy. Another made a personal call to Greece. A man whose passport claims he was born in Tennessee made 9 apparently personal calls, including 1 to a stockbroker in Kentucky. This is, check this out. One of the people who is subject to the indictment is a man named Lady. His name is Robert Selden Lady. Just retired, believed to, from the CIA at the age of 51. You know, a nice benefits program in the CIA. The real key to the benefits package is not getting killed. So, Lady's defense is that he couldn't possibly have been involved in this because the operation was so shoddy and so sophomoric, and he was far too good a spy to ever do anything this dumb or this stupid. But, you know, these are people working for the Bush administration. And you know what? Incompetence from the level of leadership goes downhill. It rolls, like some other things that we can't say on a broadcast, it rolls downhill. You understand that. You know, this list just goes on and on and on. Officials were able to track and name the people who were involved with the kidnapping on Italian soil, in large part because of the cell phones. Among other things, after the abduction, they checked, and they checked the numbers of cell phones that had been close to the scene of the abduction. They found 19 cell phones in operation at the time of the kidnapping of Abu Omar. Now, this is in no wise a defense of whether Abu Omar is or is not a good person. All I know is this person is a human being. That's the most I know. And, you know, like religious scholars in the West, he's wasted his life being a religious scholar of a religion. You know, whatever. You know, you want to do what you want to do, that's fine. You know, you want to spend your life collecting string, that's fine. That's not for me, you know, whatever. But what it boils down to is we kidnapped him on Italian soil in contravention of Italian law with no regard for the Italians whatsoever. When, you know, look, we don't have any regard for anybody. You know, badges, we don't need no stinking badges. That is what, that is the America that we have become under George W. Bush. We are a coward nation. We are a bully nation. You know, bullying and cowardice go hand in hand, don't they? The cell phones in question showed up in Milan in the weeks before the abduction and stopped transmitting shortly after it was over. Each night, based on the positioning signals, the suspect phones had come to rest in particular Milan hotels. The Principe di Savoia, $558 a night. Oh, my God. A few of the CIA agents put their cell phone numbers on the hotel registration cards. Occupation? Spy! God! It's just astonishing. This is the level of incompetence you get. Three other operatives used their own names when registering at hotels and renting cars. One operative gave his frequent flyer number to get credit at the hotel that you and me were paying for. I mean, look, one of my favorite films, by far, as far as I'm concerned, the best comedy of the decade of the 70s, a 1978 piece with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin called The In-Laws. And Peter Falk plays a CIA agent. If you've never seen it, I don't want to be a spoiler. You see the thing was remade by Albert Brooks and Michael Douglas. It was atrocious. It was awful. The whole thing should have been left on the cutting room floor. But the original, 1978. This is out of that script. This is astonishing. I mean, I grew up, you know, Robert Ludlum, Ken Follett, Tom Clancy, you know, Sir Ian Fleming, you know, the music and the... You see what I'm getting at? The spies are supposed to be, well, hell, at least competent. At least competent.
They no longer train the recruits. You realize it really is Boris and Natasha teaching them.
And CIA.gov/kids. God almighty. It's just astonishing. Let's go to the phones. Jim's with us, and he's been waiting. Hey, Jim, your head on.
My name is Pussy Galore. I must be dreaming. Remember that line?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, there was something respectable in it, you know, or admirable.
Well,
you know,
yeah, of course. I mean, these boys need to take a trip down that farm they have below Langley, you know, where they separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, a little walk through Hogan's Alley, maybe.
Well, I mean, they need to really hug. But, you know, I can tell you stories about some of the stuff that people have done with government travel cards, frequent flyer miles, and all types of stuff that would curl your hair.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, and I wouldn't have to go to any movie sketch to do it. So nothing they do really surprises.
Can you imagine? You are, Jim, for a moment, you're a CIA agent, and you're in Italy to kidnap a dangerous terrorist, and you're at the registration desk of the Principe di Savoia Hotel, and you say, and by the way, here's my frequent flyer number. Don't forget to give me credit.
Well, in the first place, you're not supposed to get credit when you fly like that on government expense. That's against the law. That's against the joint travel regulations, my friend.
And we impeached a president in part over an investigation into the White House travel office, right?
Yeah, we sure did. I mean, those joint travel regulations apply to all agencies, and, you know, you're not supposed to get any frequent flyer, credit unless you pay for it yourself. Now, if Uncle Sam's paying for the ticket, you don't get any frequent flyer points. My God, I would have so many that I'd be able to go to the Mars and back if that were the case. I mean, you know, because I remember it. In 1 year, I had 50 plane tickets.
God.
I mean, you know, I spent more time.
Yeah, that would have been made for a nice cold weather vacation to the islands.
Yeah, it would. Listen, I've got something for you. I got a letter from Jay Rockefeller.
Oh, yeah?
Rock, yeah. And I'm not going to read it all. It'll take too long, but I've got a paragraph here I'd like to share with you.
That's fine.
And he says, the election's, and by the way, my computer isn't too loud there, is it? I'll put it down as low as it'll go.
We can still hear it, Jim. Is there a volume button you can turn down? Because it really does muddle, it muddles up things.
Well, hold on, just give me a second here.
Okay, sure.
And if I go over, give me some time.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not trying to be difficult or anything, but, you know, in this business, you listen to what you've done beforehand, and the feedback and the echoing, it's we're all fixed now. Very nice.
Thank you, sir.
That's beautiful. That's great.
All right, good. Well, it's completely and totally shut off. I mean, I don't have block books in here, but I guess they are more powerful than I give them credit for.
Yeah, it could very well be. I mean, and you know, if we've got a little switch here, we have to push. If we forget and leave it open, it's like talking in an echo chamber.
Okay. Well, this is what he says. Now, these are two paragraphs. He said, the mission in Iraq has always been much larger than the initial combat phase. It was clear from the time the president elected to go to war that it would take years, billions of dollars, and hundreds of thousands of troops to fully succeed in Iraq. Having made that decision, we must fulfill our responsibility. Oh, well. Next paragraph. The elections in January of a National Assembly and their selection of a presidency council were important steps forward. The naming of Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari was also promising. However, the political challenges facing Prime Minister Jafari's transitional government are formidable. And I believe a postponement for completion of the Constitution, which is allowed by the transitional administration law, is probable. Such a postponement will likely exacerbate tensions. And though the Iraq security forces are improving in number and capability, they are far from capable of conducting independent operations across the board. So that ought to tell you something right there.
No, it does. And, you know, last night you and I talked about the fact that Rumsfeld and his little trip around Iraq during the holidays, everywhere he went, he said, you know, there's going to be 7,000 less American soldiers in Iraq. We're going to bring some. Guess what? You were right. It turned out to be another stinking lie.
Well, sure. I mean, they do that. That's where they follow the books like that. I mean, they bring home 7,000 and they redeploy 8,000 or, you know. It's all smoke and mirrors, basically. You know.
Well, General Peter Pace was on Fox News Sunday, and he basically contradicted everything that Rumsfeld said.
Well, you know, when I saw Rumsfeld serving food to the troops in Iraq, I said, you know, you've really found your true profession. You'd do well to be serving in the buffet line at the S&S cafeteria.
Well, I was thinking he could work in the buffet line at the federal penitentiary at Maxwell Air Force Base.
You took the words right out of my mouth. And let's not send him to Maxwell. Let's send him to Angola.
That I like that a lot better.
Maxwell's too nice a place. And, you know, they're trumpeting all this stuff about this Iraqi baby Noor. Now,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's great that they're going to be able to cure this little kid of spina bifida or whatever she has. However, A, how many babies have just been shot out of hand? How many babies have been killed as collateral damage?
How many babies have been killed in the womb, Jim?
Oh, yeah, pregnant women who didn't even have a chance to deliver their children or hear their first cries. And, of course, you know, how many babies in this country need that same medical attention which they are unable to afford?
You're absolutely right.
They're trying to take something like this and add some type of humane aspect to this war. Well, I've got news for these people. There are no humane aspects to war. War is not humane.
Nope.
It wasn't meant to be humane.
If it was humane, it wouldn't be war.
Exactly. I mean, you know, Sherman said war is hell. I mean, we do not fight these wars in a knightly fashion.
No,
what
the knights did wasn't very nice either.
Well, you know, at least you could have two champions, one on each side, like David and Goliath, and whoever won, you know.
Yeah. Single combat.
That'd be the, you know, that would be it. But I mean, this is, I mean, let's face it, these wars that we're fighting, and when you start dropping these JDAMs on people, and you talk about surgical bombing, well, it might look surgical on TV, but I'll guarantee you one thing, if this were your block and you were hearing these things for real, you'd just see how you would not want to be in that operating room, okay?
Right.
I mean, this is exactly what we're talking about here, my friend. I mean, this is a nasty business, and we've gotten into it up over our elbow.
Yes, we are. And there's, and I, you know, I'm a little bit harsh, but you know what? We got to remember all the blood that's been spilled, Jim. And it's time to quit being nice about it. All the blood that has been spilled over there flows directly to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and to the doorsteps of those who put him there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Now, I understand that are there stirrings or movements toward thinking about impeaching this man?
The I word is being thrown around with considerably more force. An unscientific poll over at MSNBC, and of course you don't know how accurate, but just the raw percentage of the data comes off 82% of people responding to the poll are in favor of impeachment.
Well,
82%. I mean, even if that's unscientific, I think the last Zogby number that I saw bandied about was around 52%.
Well, you can go with that now. Zogby's pretty reliable. He's very reliable. As a matter of fact, James Zogby is probably the most reliable pollster there is.
So far he's been fairly accurate.
Yeah,
and
I used to talk to his son a good bit, who worked in D.C.
Right. I'd say. You know, this is, when it comes to it, this is not going to be the Clinton impeachment where the Republican House was forging ahead despite 67% of the people saying don't do it. This is going to be the exact opposite, Jim. This is going to be multitudes of the American people screaming from the legal and peaceable removal of this horrid little man and his horrid vice president from office and the Republican Congress saying no.
Well, they cannot say no very long and keep their seats. Because I mean, you know, if they want to keep their seats, and if they want to ride down, you know, if they want to get on the bridge of the Titanic with him, that's fine.
Well,
on their own heads be it.
Any of the leadership. Can you imagine Tom DeLay saying, going and having the conversation with Bush that Howard Baker had with Nixon? Can you imagine James Sensenbrenner having that conversation? Of all the Republicans that are out there in any form of a leadership position, the only one I can imagine even remotely possibly having that conversation with George Bush that Howard Baker had with Richard Nixon is maybe Arlen Specter. And that's only because Arlen Specter worked on, he was a staff lawyer on during the impeachment proceedings against Richard Nixon.
Yeah, well, all I can say is this, as far as having conversations with George Bush is concerned, I understand that if any of his advisors have any conversations with him and they are in contradiction to his own opinion, he gets real upset real quickly.
And uses all kinds of language that we don't even like to
all
use.
All kinds of expletives, obliteratives, and, you know, just basically is just really ugly. And, you know, of course, all presidents have been known to have tempers. FDR had one, Bill Clinton had one, but I understand Bush's temper is spectacular.
Well, his is the temper of a spoiled child.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, you know, he's screaming because he's basically given everything and never argued with and, you know, basically has never had to, you know, in my opinion, pay the price for his own actions and accept the consequences of his own behavior. Except this time, I think he may have to accept the consequences of his behavior.
I hope so. I sincerely hope so.
Well, I hope so, too. I mean, there's something in the Wall Street Journal, I think. I was talking with Wayne earlier, and he said something about an article in the Wall Street Journal.
Well, it was Barron's, actually, not the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The Wall Street Journal owns Barron's, and Barron's magazine is saying it's time to consider impeachment. And when those people say it, gee whiz, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're not talking about the Socialist Workers Daily here.
No, we're not. We're talking about a very conservative financial newspaper, and it keeps its finger on the pulse of this country. And, you know, I think they're realizing that this man is literally spending us into the poorhouse and is driving this country's economy out. It's not even in the tank.
I know.
It's in the ground below the sewer tank, I mean, or below the whatever you want to call it, the receptacle there. I mean, I have never seen such numbers in my life when I've looked at the deficits and everything. And yet they say they don't have the money to feed people who need to be fed and warm people who are cold, and they're cutting back on these entitlement programs.
But we got money for tax cuts.
And tax cuts for the wealthy, and basically, you know, this simply cannot continue. There's just no way.
Well, I hope we can do something peaceably and quickly about it. Jim, we got to roll on. I enjoyed the conversation. Take care.
You too.
Bye now. And Bruce has been waiting very patiently. Hey, Bruce, you're head on.
Hello, Mr. Bob Kincaid. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Yourself, sir?
I'm doing great, man, but I hopefully it'll get better, you know.
Yeah.
You know, all the wonderful news about the impeachment, but I got to tell you, Jim really, you know, I love listening to Jim's calls, and there's a couple of things he really, you know, a couple of things he hit on that I think maybe all of us should visualize Rummy in a prison uniform.
Rummy in orange.
In orange, you know, slapping plates with some sort of, you know, goop.
That he has to eat.
that he has to eat. But, you know, I know we're getting up to the top of the hour, but I wanted to just, you know,
take your time
and just, you know, touch base. There was a story, I don't know if you caught this today, but there was a story that was in Raw Story earlier today that was about Condoleezza Rice bugging the UN Security Council. Did
mm-hmm.
you see that?
Yeah, I did run across it, yeah.
And just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Oh,
the obvious, but.
Well, are we surprised? I mean, what really struck me, and the background, of course, Bruce, for those who might not have caught it, there is reportage coming out. Raw Story had it. It was over at Huffington Post as well. Condoleezza Rice was the one who authorized spying on the home phones as well as the office phones, emails, you know, what have you, of the members of the UN Security Council in the run-up to the vote on whether or not to blow the snot out of Iraq. And what struck me out of all that is, one, I wasn't surprised, and two, you know, this is the same thing as the business in Italy. This is, you know, this isn't highfalutin national security intelligence gathering. This is the cheesy, tawdry, two-bit, just nosiness of the little old lady who has the party line and just likes to listen in on other people for the sheer hell of it.
You know, I know West Virginia is not a gambling state, and North Carolina isn't either. Well, we do have a lottery coming though soon.
Yeah.
But I don't know how legal it would be to take bets on the air about when it comes out that Harry's office was bugged during the when the campaign there.
Oh, I have no doubt, and apparently Kerry's coming around to that position. There, I got another story in the stack. The governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson,
uh-huh.
when he was involved in some fairly sensitive talks over the North Koreans and nuclear proliferation, stuff like that, he has come out now and said he honestly believes that his phones were tapped by the Bush administration. I mean,
really?
Yeah, it was. Bruce, it started out, it was drip, you know, it's just like with the Clinton business. You know, who was it? The guy, James Traficant, he's doing federal time now. He was a Dino, a Democrat in name only from Ohio. And he was the one on the floor who said, you know, we're tired of this drip, drip, drip from the Clinton administration. We need full disclosure. Well, the drip is going to turn into a flood, and you know, you're going to find out every day there's going to be a new group out. The ACLU is investigating in San Diego. They were spied on by the Defense Department, a peace group who protested in front of the San Diego Naval Air Station. You know, for God's sakes.
It's a flood. It just really is amazing to me. And you know they're listening to our shows, Bob.
Yeah, they're listening to All Things Reconsidered. They're listening to the Fourth Estate. They're listening to this show. And
they feel important.
Oh, well, you know, and
makes me feel important. But you know, but no, but really, just keep up the good work, man. You're doing a
thanks, Bruce, and you're doing
job.
A wonderful job over there with both Fourth Estate and All Things Reconsidered. Fourth Estate, 10 o'clock Saturday nights, right?
Yep.
And All Things Reconsidered the same time on Sunday.
Same time on Sunday, yeah. So if you're just a dishes talk, there's a place to go.
Absolutely, I call it patriotic talk though,
there
but I'm funny
you.
That way. All right, thanks so much, Bruce, and have yourself a great evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye now.
Bye now.
You're gonna find out more and more. You're gonna find out that as this goes on, we're gonna find out that no one has been safe in their homes, persons, property, and effects. To quote that delightful little Fourth Amendment, no one has been secure. And again, this is not national security. Do not fall for that stupid right-wing Republican frame. This has nothing to do with national security. This has to do with institutional nosiness. It's how it is with people like the Bush family. They've got a taste for gossip. And that's all they're after. And maybe a little bit of leverage. And a little bit of political power. And a little bit of money. Oh, God, they're all going to look so good in blaze orange. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write... Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victim's program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries?
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Sing me.
give a shout. Presidential party. No one wants that. Looking for a new start.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right. First hour went by in a blur. Let's see what happens to the second one. This is Head On. I'm Bob. The phone number, 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366. Please make a note of it. And the other number, 304-658-3333. Email bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. Any means by which you choose to reach the program is fine by me. or just sitting there like I sometimes do, reading the stories before the show and, you know, clutching your head in a sort of Macaulay Culkin-ish fashion from Home Alone. That, you know, that's okay, too. That's absolutely all right. Now, back to the... That's all, folks. Back to the subject at hand. Norman Solomon's article at Huffington Post. Headline, NSA spied on UN diplomats in push for invasion of Iraq. You know, context is everything. This, you've got to remember that at the time of the UN resolution, what had we done? We had sent Colin Powell up to New York to the United Nations building to address the General Assembly and, you know, coincidentally at the same time, flush every last little bit of credibility he had straight down the toilet. What were the words he used? What was it? What did he say? My friends, this is not mere speculation. What I tell you today is based on hard evidence. You remember that? I do. I sat there watching the address and just in rapt horror because, you know, me, little old loudmouthed hillbilly in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. And I can tell that everything he's saying is a honking lie. You know, it's not a deliberate falsehood. It's not a misstatement of the facts. It's a freaking lie. And, you know, I mean, I don't even have digital cable and I could tell it was a lie. And then a little bit later we find, because, you know, part and parcel of this is I remember seeing the video footage of where was it? Colin Powell was in Egypt. Was it Egypt? Was he talking to Hosni Mubarak when he said Saddam Hussein does not pose a threat to any of his neighbors and is not able to make trouble in the world? Something along those lines. You know, he said that. You know, but that's the context. You know, we'd been to the United Nations. We were trying to work up this ugly, hateful little oil dodge that started out Operation Iraqi Liberation. Then, as quick as they figured out that spelled oil, it turned into Operation Iraqi Freedom. And during all of this, it turns out the National Security Administration, the NSA, is wiretapping the home and business phones of members of the UN Security Council. And what's more, and that's why I said before the top of the hour that this isn't intelligence gathering, this is gossipy nosiness. Because then we turned around and told the British office about it. We told them what we were doing. We told the British what we were doing, and Norman Solomon recounts this in his article at Huffington Post, citing a report in The Observer. As part of its battle to win votes in favor of war against Iraq, The Observer reported on March 2, 2003, the U.S. government developed an aggressive surveillance operation which involves interception of the home and office telephones and the emails of UN delegates. The smoking gun was, quote, a memorandum written by a top official at the National Security Agency, the U.S. body which intercepts communications around the world and circulated to both senior agents in his organization and to a friendly foreign intelligence agency. The friendly agency was Britain's government communications headquarters. So we were George wasn't just sitting there with his hand over the mouthpiece listening to the party line. He then hung up, got on the other line, and called his buddies in England to tell them about it too. And as Mr. Solomon notes, the spying had nothing to do with protecting the United States from a terrorist attack. The entire purpose of the NSA surveillance was to help the White House gain leverage by whatever means possible for a resolution in the UN Security Council to greenlight an invasion. Do you remember the Ken Starr report? That ugly, thick, pornographic screed about Bill Clinton's sex life. Do you remember that? Well, by the time we get around to putting together and connecting all the dots of just the rampant and reckless disregard for anything remotely resembling the rule of law in the United States that's been perpetrated by the Bush administration, it's going to make that thing look like my pet goat, little golden book, something like that. You understand this? This is the Bush administration at its very finest. Can you make a cogent argument to me that can you make a cogent argument to me that there is any national security reason for spying on a bunch of peace protesters in San Diego or, what, Lake Worth, Florida? Is there a national... Of course, I'm open for it. Explain to me the national security threat posed by the Kumbaya crowd. I suppose you could get at it sort of roundabout and say that, well, you know, they're opposed to war, and if they bring more people over to their side, we won't make war. And, wait a minute. If we didn't make war on Iraq, we wouldn't be having all the terrorism in Iraq. We wouldn't have the insurgency. Now, see, that one doesn't work either. And I advise you, don't try that at home. Don't. It gives you a headache. You try to sort of isolate your rational brain and think like a freeper, like a Repiglican for a minute, and it just makes you kind of feel nauseated and vile, and you want to go take a shower. I said shower. Following a report showing the Pentagon was spying on local anti-war group in Florida, the American Civil Liberties Union is looking into the possibility that San Diego law enforcement could have been involved in spying on a peace group there. If there's good reason to believe that there's actual terrorism activity going on, then by all means law enforcement should be involved in protecting us, said San Diego ACLU Director Kevin Keenan. But that's not what we're talking about in this case. These are ordinary Americans who hold different views. Kevin, you poor darn fool, you don't understand that having a differing view is terrorism in Bushmerica with three K's. ACLU, they hate America. Did you know the ACLU was founded by a bunch of commies?
The ACLU that is protecting Rush Limbaugh's behind.
That, right. His pylondial behind, absolutely.
And they're commies, right?
Absolutely. Ask any right winger. Ask the Savage Wiener. Ask Sean Hannity. You know, never mind the fact that ask Falafel Boy O'Reilly. Yeah, the ACLU, they're just bad.
Could it be like lawyers? You know, you don't want one, and they're really bad, and they're bottom feeders until you need one.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Don't sue anybody until somebody you know dies.
It's amazing. What was it? Wolf Blitzer had Roy Black, Rush Limbaugh's attorney, on talking about privacy issues. Oh, it was hard. Just about had to take a little medicine to stop the uncontrollable laughter. But this is the America where we are. The Barron's editorial is making the rounds. It's been getting some pretty hot mention. Because again, this is Barron's. Like I said, talking to Jim, this is not the Socialist Workers Daily. These are people talking impeachment who are generally listened to. And this is just a chunk of that editorial. BuzzFlash reprinted it in full. If you want to go over there, buzzflash.com. And I think our good friends at WD40, that's WBYAD, and then the number 40.com, have it as well. It is important, Barron's writes, to be clear that an impeachment case, if it comes to that, would not be about wiretapping or about a possible constitutional right not to be wiretapped. It would be about the power of Congress to set wiretapping rules by law, and it is about the obligation of the president to follow the rules in the acts that he and his predecessors signed into law. But this is the paragraph that sort of grabbed me. Some ancillary responsibility, however, must be attached to those members of the House and Senate who were informed inadequately about the wiretapping and did nothing to regulate it. It goes on and says, Senator John D. Rockefeller IV, Democrat of West Virginia, told Vice President Dick Cheney in 2003 that he was, quote, unable to fully evaluate, much less endorse these activities, unquote. But the senator was so respectful of the administration's injunction of secrecy that he wrote it out in longhand rather than give it to someone to type. Only last week, after the cat was out of the bag, did he do what he should have done in 2003, make his misgivings public and demand more information. And I agree with that position. But by the same token, I also agree that it might have been nice to have had this information before the election instead of the New York Times just sitting on it and protecting George Bush one more time. Finally, Barron's writes, published reports quote sources saying that 14 members of Congress were notified of the wiretapping. If some had misgivings, apparently they were scared of being called names, as the president did last week when he said it was a shameful act for someone to disclose this very important program in a time of war. The fact that we're discussing this program is helping the enemy. And Barron says, wrong. If we don't discuss the program and the lack of authority for it, we are meeting the enemy in the mirror. That was written by editorial page editor for Barron's, Thomas G. Donlan. We are meeting the enemy in the mirror. You know, when you work for Barron's, you can't just come out and quote Pogo and say, we have seen the enemy and they is us. But that's what that is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Sometimes the lovely Agnes is like a character from Dune. She has the ability to fold time. You're number one in my book, too, dear. Just to put the final, punctuation on the whole Condoleezza Rice spy. Because you got to understand how the mind... Condoleezza Rice authored, initiated, invented this program of spying on the Security Council to try to... Look, that Norman Solomon uses pretty words. The entire purpose of the NSA surveillance was to help the White House gain leverage by whatever means possible for a resolution. Norman can use the pretty stuff. I'll use the straightforward stuff. They were looking for blackmail info. And that's the way that a sleazy, nasty, under the cover of night operative like Condoleezza Rice operates. She doesn't think in terms of what's legal. She doesn't think in terms of what's good. She doesn't think in terms of what's decent. She thinks in terms of what will advance her goals no matter the cost. So they were looking for blackmail operations. They were trying to find out if perhaps the Chinese ambassador to the United Nations had been to spankmeivebeennaughty.com or was, had a mistress on the Lower East Side. They wanted to know if maybe that young Russian male ballet dancer who had been spending so much time with the Russian UN ambassador. You understand how they operate. They have dirty minds. They have filthy minds, these Republicans. And they were hell-bent on war. And since they knew that they were going to kill a few hundred thousand innocent people in the process anyway, what's a little blackmail among pals? That is what we're talking about here. We're talking about domestic spying, yes, but we are also talking about the nastiest, most vindictive and hateful and sleazy side of American politics that has ever, and I include the Nixon administration, ever reared its ugly, ugly head. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that the case for war in Iraq was so weak that it was necessary to try to blackmail people into submission. I expect that out of some other governments. You know, I understand the whole cloak and dagger thingy. But I'm not okay with it in my government. I'm not okay with it being practiced by a government that prides itself on the whole give me your tired, your poor, your weak, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Those people. That is not what the United States stands for, is it? Are we a nation now of blackmailers? Shall we add blackmail to the list of things that the Bush administration has made of us? Cowards, bullies, blackmailers. Blackmailers. Take that to heart. And of course, don't forget warmongers. Everything that we say we hate in the rest of the world, we have fast become. There should be tears in our eyes. What David said early in the program, not in our name. I don't know about you, but I don't like blackmail being done in my name. I don't like murder done in my name. In my name, I am not willing to forego the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Now, I realize with a lot of law enforcement people, the Fourth Amendment is a damn nuisance. Just like the whole Constitution to George Bush is a GD piece of paper. But, the cops, you know, you got to go get a search warrant. Oh, God, we got to fill out the affidavit. We got to get it right. And it's just a pain in the butt. But you know what? It protects the innocent as well as the guilty. And we presume in this nation that every last single one among us is in fact innocent until proven guilty. And that's the only way you can make something like the Fourth Amendment work. And now we have a man in the White House who thinks that it's a nuisance. What are you going to do? Going to hit the streets? Going to talk in the line at the grocery store? Whatever you can do, whatever I can do, whatever we can do, we by God must do. Right? All right. This is Head On.
Friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding. Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. As the Athenians told the Melians, rights only come into play between equals in power. The strong do what they will, all others do what they must. We cowardly give power to ruthless politicians who do not deserve it, based only on their word that they will protect us from unknown enemies. We cowardly allow others to be tortured and innocent foreigners to be murdered in our name for the sake of safety and revenge. A country which once prided itself on doing something not because it was easy but because it was difficult is now a nation of cowards who huddle in fear and strike out at straw men and helpless opponents. By being cowards, we are no longer equals in power with our own government. Once we were citizens, now we seem more like subjects. Should Mr. Bush decide to declare martial law and extend his term indefinitely, I doubt many of us would take to the streets, and no doubt those in the press would marginalize those who did, as those millions who sought to prevent the war in Iraq were discounted and marginalized. Even now, after all the numerous excuses this administration has given, have proven to be lies. By their greed and arrogance, the Athenians fell. Rome moved from republic to empire because its citizens no longer desired the burden of self-rule. Having failed to learn the lessons of history, we in America will soon follow, and all to the good. As Benjamin Franklin said, those who give up liberty for security deserve neither liberty nor security. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. I always enjoy Joe Vecchio's commentaries, the Cup of Joe Report, the historical, you know, the historical perspective is always so important. Historical perspective. He referenced the Melian dialogue from Thucydides' Peloponnesian War. And, you know, great equals or great nations do as they will, small nations do what they must. You know, that was the perspective that we presented to Iraq. And, of course, it's worth remembering, as Joe noted, that ultimately the result of the war that the Athenians chose, the war of choice, just like Iraq, resulted in the downfall of the Athenian democracy, just as we are faced with the downfall of our own republic here. That's why, you know, you've heard dear leader say things like, everything changed after 9/11. Or, my particular favorite, we're dealing with a new kind of enemy, an enemy the world has never seen before. You've heard that, right? I know I have. And I wonder about the people who hear that and go, yeah, that's right. And it makes me wonder and fear for our public education system, because if you can hear somebody like George Bush, we're facing an enemy that we've never faced before, one that's like nothing the world has ever seen. They're clever. When you hear that kind of crap, and you know that there are Americans out there who are, just hosannaing and amening to it, you know that something has gone terribly, terribly wrong here. Because you know what? There's nothing new in the so-called enemy that we face. There's nothing new in an enemy that refuses to put on a uniform and line up in neat little formations so that we can bomb and blast the bejesus out of them. There is absolutely nothing whatsoever new in that. The word assassin? We know the etymology of the word assassin, don't we? The Hashashins? People that get just absolutely stoked on hash and go out and murder people for political ends. The leader of them was referred to, I believe, during the Crusades as the Old Man of the Mountain. Or let's go back a few hundred years more. Let's go back to the era, you know, this is the holiday season. Let's go back to the era of Palestine under Roman rule and the Sicarii. Hebrew zealots who would dress up as women and go about in the crowds and just shiv their enemies, murder them in the streets, and move along. You know, real, literally, cloak and dagger stuff. So, you gotta understand that when dear leader says that miserable drivel about new enemies and new ways, all he is doing when he opens his mouth with that stupidity is to prove his own profound lack of education and lack of thought. Okay. And lack of anything approaching cognition. Do you see? New enemies, my foot. What were we in 1775 hiding with our squirrel rifles and our Kentucky long guns, hiding behind stone walls or in trees in the native buckskin, blending into the woods around us? What were we? Yes, dear.
I think if everyone remembers the great actor Mel Gibson did The Patriot not too long ago. What was he in that movie? Wasn't he enemy?
No, he was a patriot. Yeah, that's right. He was a patriot. That was a good right-wing movie.
But if he was a patriot, then why was he hiding in his buckskins? Why was his house burnt and his family in turmoil and, you know, his son killed?
Well, because he was an American. He was an American. That was a fine movie. And don't you try to make nothing un-American out of this, Agnes. We know how you are.
Yeah, I know. But all in all, it seems, no, we are good Americans, and there are some Americans that aren't so good.
Yeah, one of them lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, absolutely.
You know, don't try to be sneaky about it.
But the point here is that, you know, there is nothing new in any of this. There's absolutely nothing new in any of this. Who would have imagined that they would hijack airliners and use them as missiles? Hell, George, I don't know. Who could have imagined that? Oh, somebody that knew that, you know, we had trouble in the early part of the 19th century with Arab states in North Africa that would commandeer our ships and use them as pirate vessels? Nah. Why should we bother with this teaching history business? It just gets us in trouble. It's ever so much easier if we can just convince the American people that this is all something new and different. The whole world changed on 9/11. To come in peace. It is easier that way, isn't it? You know, and it's easier if your allies on the in the religion industry can militate and agitate and scream and squall that, you know, this world was intelligently designed. When, you know, again, are they stupid or do they just think we are? I don't know which. I'm supposed to believe in intelligent design and look at them and see that as proof? You know, I'm supposed to look at people who supported a war that has cost 100,000 civilian lives, as noted with talking with Jim. You know, you think that there weren't some pregnant women killed in the shock and awe? I guarantee you there were. And I'm supposed to look at the people who support that war and think that they are the product of an intelligent and beneficent creator? Bug spray. Not a chance. Didn't happen. Not that way. I mean, never mind the whole Mark Twain, you know, the house fly is the living proof that... No. All I have to do is look at Karl Rove and Tom DeLay and George Bush and Laura Bush and the Bushettes and kinda sleazy Rice and Rumsfeld, and I know that this world was created out of nothing but abject, mean-spirited chaos. That it is... What's the line from Kurt Vonnegut's Sirens of Titan? I was a victim of a series of accidents, as are we all. As are we all. And God knows the day that George Bush cried his first little infant cry, the entire United States became a victim of a series of accidents. I don't see any other way to look at it but that. So, perspective is everything. Historical perspective, having a little bit of understanding of just how mean and rotten and ruthless we can be. Whether it's Americans or Greeks or Jewish zealots or Muslim zealots in their high mountain fastness, getting higher than Adam's off ox on hashish and going off to kill people. It's the brotherhood of man, baby. It's the brotherhood of man. So let's take a break, come back, we'll shift gears and go somewhere else. Or we can go where you want to go. The phone number, of course, is 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob at headonradio.com. That's the email. Have we said Head On enough? Okay.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Minutes before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And I saw mention, and I can't verify it. I haven't seen the full blurb on it. But is it true? Is it true that George H.W. Bush, you know, pappy, daddy, shall we call him Oedipus Bush, and Bill Clinton have been jointly named Time's Men of the Year? Is that true? I saw something about that before I came on the air. There was no link, no nothing, just a mention. Is that true? If it is,
yeah.
This whole business of Bill Clinton sucking up with the Bush family and the whole weird psychological dynamic of, you know, but it's disgusting, but it makes a little bit of sense because, you know, finally... Finally, oh my God, finally, Daddy Bush has a son he can be proud of, who philandered just like him. You do know that's the reason that in running against Daddy Bush that they couldn't play the Clinton sex card as hard as they want to, because James Carville or someone got hold of the Bush campaign and said, look, you know, it ain't like there's no skeletons in your closet either, and we'll wear you out with them if you even try. So, you know, like father, like son, and the whole weird dynamic where he sort of torments George W. Because, you know, of course, George W. is more the son of Barbara than the son of daddy. Just DSM-4 stuff scattered all over the room that you don't even want to begin to contemplate. But yuck. Just yuck. And shame, you know, shame on the Clintons. Shame on Bill for having anything to do with this filthy, filthy little family. Bart Kopp calls them the Bush family evil empire. Mike Malloy calls them the Bush crime family. I occasionally refer to them as, I'm not in either one of those guys' leagues, I refer to them occasionally as La Familia Bush. The Bushistas, the Bushevics. It's just an awful, awful little cesspool of benighted DNA. So I saw that one little blurb, and then I got in my email today, this from Insight Magazine. Headline, oh, God, God, God. White House recruited Clintonites to get out Iraq message.
Oh.
I think I hate that more than the whole buying off journalists thing, you know, paying off Armstrong Williams, all of that sorry crap, the story that came out a couple of days ago about how Jack Abramoff bought him a big old handful of journalists to write nice things about him. The Bush administration approved the hiring of former aides of President Bill Clinton to help promote its Iraq strategy. Administration sources said the White House quietly retained former members of the Clinton administration to help market President Bush's campaign in Iraq. The sources said a handful of former Clinton aides have helped the president in areas such as media relations, public outreach, and speech writing, as Mr. Bush has barnstormed the country in efforts to explain the administration policy. Great God Almighty, that pisses me off. I can't tell you how angry that makes me. Can I have another argument that the DLC is really, you know, got the Democratic Party's best interests in mind? Who was I talking about a little bit ago? The Sicarii, who just sort of dressed up as something that they weren't and went through the crowd and slipped the shiv between the ribs of other people. That's this. Oh, let's see. These are not policy or political people, an administration source said. They are well connected to circles that we want to enter so we can tell our side of the story. We just can't preach to the converted. Because, see, the Bush administration has done run out of converted. Back where I came from, in the Southern Baptist Church where I was raised, we called it preaching to the choir. Well, the choir loft is empty now. There are no people. No, there are no converted for the Bush people to preach to. Everybody knows that it's a scam. And a dirty, bloody one at that. So now they're turning to the people, you know, they're turning to the people who worked for Bill Clinton, who was a master at getting his message out. The sources said the former Clinton aides opened doors for Mr. Bush to Congress, think tanks, and Democratic strongholds. God! God! I don't want to yell and I don't want to scream, but boy, yes I do. We're sitting here, we're busting our butts to pull our own party together. Do you know the story? Here's some more of that historical perspective nonsense. Do you know the story of the Great Wall of China? You know, visible, only human entity visible from space, blah, 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 blah. And they built this wall to keep out, you know, to keep out the hordes and protect, you know, the homeland. And they couldn't, the hordes outside the wall couldn't bust through the walls. They couldn't, so what did they do? They bribed one of the gatekeepers who just opened the damn door. This is that. This is that. The Clintonites, you know, can you just hear Ann Coulter? The Sodomites! The Clintonites were brought into the White House by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Oh! The sources said. They said Miss Rice, regarded as the member of the administration closest to Mr. Bush, has assessed that Democratic support was vital to maintain the U.S. military presence in Iraq over the remainder of Mr. Bush's presidential term. Why isn't there a paragraph in there about how they gave Joe Lieberman a fresh pair of knee pads? You know, it used to be cute when you'd read that line from Will Rogers, you know, I am not a member of an organized political party, I am a Democrat. It's not funny anymore. We have a real opportunity to take back the Congress in 2006 and to peaceably and lawfully remove this god-awful monstrosity from office before he can do any more harm. And we've got, Quislings. We've got Quislings working for the other side to shore up the Bush administration's position in Iraq. Wonder if they got any of the phone numbers from good old Al Fromm. Is that his name, Al? Dick? Not sure. There's a Fromm at the Democratic Leadership Council. Wonder if they went into Hillary's Rolodex. Wonder if how much Joe Lieberman helped. One former member of the Clinton administration has been brought into the National Security Council. Peter Thiever. An instructor at Duke University was hired in June 2005 as a special advisor at the NSC, authorized to track and analyze public opinion regarding the war in Iraq. Mr. Thiever has been instrumental in drafting Mr. Bush's messages designed to recruit support for the U.S. military presence in Iraq. He also helped draft the NSC's Our National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. Remember the little high school yearbook that they put out a couple of weeks ago? A 35-page document designed to persuade Americans that the United States will defeat Sunni insurgents and stabilize Iraq. You know, I can't stand up. What is it? I can't stand up for falling down. I can't win for all the cotton picking losing.
So they're not Democrats.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. Quislings, turncoats, traitors. Murder for hire. And, you know, to hell with anybody who is, you know, the opening doors for Mr. Bush to Congress. Anybody who let their doors be opened that way does not deserve to ever sit in power and call themselves a Democrat ever again. Maybe this is a tempest in a teacup, but I am righteously and genuinely pissed off. The nerve, the absolute unmitigated nerve. He argued that Americans want to be convinced that the war effort would succeed, an administration source said. So Fever put in the word victory in every Bush speech as well as the NSC document. Oh, God. I despise them. I want some Americans. Not these Imperial stormtroopers. InsightMag.com. It's a short piece. Go read it for yourself. White House recruited Clintonites to get out Iraq message. Anybody want to tell me what a liberal the Clintonites were again? You want to try that one with me? It don't work no more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. Now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
McGruff, the crime dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alex's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries?
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Thanks for hanging out on this Tuesday night. I'm Bob. This is Head On. The lovely Agnes at the controls. You know, you heard B-Rez there with the phone number. Learn it, know it, use it. For those of you keeping score at home, if you're inclined to do so, call, you know, well, it won't do any good to call a Republican congressperson, but your member of the House of Representatives, if they happen to be a Democrat, drop them an email, give them a call, tell them to get in line behind H.R. 365 and H.R. 366 and H.R. 367. These are the resolutions being put forward by John Conyers of Michigan to investigate and censure Bush and Cheney. Now, I'll be the first to say that I don't have the censure phooey. You know, we don't need George and Dick brought to the front of the class and slapped on the wrist with the ruler by the nun. They need to be removed from office. Period. But that having been said, you might just put the bug in your congressperson's ear that you'd like to see them act like they actually give a tinker's damn about, you know, the health of the republic and our quick slip slide into the abyss of an imperial presidency. Does that just blow your mind that Dick Cheney came out last week and said, well, you know, the powers of the presidency were severely eroded by Watergate, and the White House gave up too much of its power. What in the... You're kidding, right? No, he wasn't kidding. He was not kidding at all. So, H.R. 365, H.R. 366, and H.R. 367, and thanks to Peter for bringing that to my attention. Now, this is a real shifting of gears, because in the midst of all of this, all this talk of terrorism. Well, let's go to the phones first. Jim's back with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Bob.
How you doing?
Yeah, I hear you 5x5. Do you hear me?
I got you.
First, who in the world was doing the Nancy Sinatra boots thing? Was that Steve O'Brien doing karaoke at the
at Foster's? No, no.
What's that?
That was a classic, Jim. I'm surprised you didn't know. That was Mrs. Miller.
Well, it sounded like a drag queen. Who is that?
That's a disc from back in the 60s. She made some occasional appearances on Johnny Carson, Dick Cavett, that kind of thing. She was like a cleaning lady who was discovered, so to speak, and they made Mrs. Miller's greatest hits. And the disc contains "These Boots Were Made for Walking," which you heard, and one of the most astonishing renditions of the Beatles' "Hard Day's Night" you will ever hope to hear.
My God, she sounded like a combination of Danny LaRue and Dame Edna.
That's about what you get. There was a lot of really, really bizarre stuff released in that era. You know, the William Shatner disc.
Oh, yeah, I sure
think. Well, this is in that league.
Well, wait a minute. Let me collect my thoughts. I'm sorry.
I understand. I don't think Agnes fully understood what she was playing when she clicked on that either. The minute I heard it, though, I looked up. I looked at her and said, oh, Agnes, it's Mrs. Miller. And she did the same thing you did. Who's Mrs. Miller?
Well, I'll tell you, have you ever seen the Fruitcake Lady?
Yeah.
You have or haven't?
Yeah, no, I think I know who you're talking about.
She's 94 years old and gives advice to the lovelorn.
Yeah.
Oh, she is a trip, let me tell you. Listen, does the name Causey bring a bell with you?
Say again?
Causey.
Uh-uh.
Well, is he in any way involved with Delay or any of these people with one of those scandals?
I'm not entirely certain.
Well, the reason is because I had just sort of drifted into, I had fallen asleep and I was seeing, watching the TV going up the ribbon across the bottom of the TV saying that a guy named Causey had cut one. Now, what I mean by that is the deal.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, and they said that it weakened the government's case even more. But I just wanted to tell if you got.
Well, no. See, I read now that number that name doesn't grab me, but I ran across a story earlier today talking about one of Abramoff's associates who has in fact cut a deal and is in preparation to testify against Abramoff when his trial begins next week.
Well, I can just see the headlines now. Causey cut one. I mean, that could be if somebody does something like that, it could really cause that thing to unravel like an old sock. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't. It depends on how you look at it, Jim, because there are at least, two, three people, I think two, that are in line to testify against Jack. And when Jack goes, and Jack is furiously trying to cut a deal himself, and the thing is, when the this is a house of cards. This is the real political domino effect in America, because if Abramoff starts talking, then there's every possibility that the most of the entire Republican leadership in the Congress can go down, from DeLay to Hastert to Roy Blunt. The list is really pretty impressive.
Well, that would be exceptionally good news. That'd be wonderful news if that could happen.
Well, I think there's a profound chance, there's a real likelihood of that happening.
Well, you never can tell. Sometimes from the most unexpected places do you get some of the best and the greatest news,
Exactly.
Who would have thought that because of Richard Nixon's paranoia, who had just been reelected, one of the greatest landslides in history, that within 2 years, he would be leaving the office in disgrace. Now, think about it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more good things about Dick Nixon than this president could ever have,
Yeah.
Look,
these guys make Nixon look like a two-bit crook, which he was. But we really tended to think that Nixon was the real pinnacle of political corruption, and yet we've been, the Republicans involved, so therefore we are once again proven wrong.
But, in defense of Nixon, now he's dead and gone. Now he, in many ways, went to the he became the Elvis statesman type, and later went on to, in certain ways, to distinguish himself. Now he did. Now you got to give him credit for that, Bob.
Well, you mean the going to China thing and...
Oh yeah, I mean, he basically, had a lot of problems, he did a lot of bad things, but he did, become in his latter days, a sort of respected elder statesman who went around the world, and I think he basically made some type of effort to atone for his sins. I want to give him credit for that, okay?
Well, that's mighty generous of you.
Well, I can't help. I mean, I'm a human being, and I believe, and I forgive, and that's my nature. And I really think that he did.
Well, of course, opening the doors to China, look what that's bought us in the long run.
Well, Bob, what do we do? I mean, we had to do something like that. I mean, there was definitely people, the world was greatly relieved when that happened because we couldn't just ignore all those people. Now we've abused, and people have abused that opening to China. And China is a populous nation with an industrial base of people who are willing to work. I mean, these are industrious, well-motivated people. I mean, and if we fall behind them, it's not their fault, is it?
No. Look, if you want to assign blame on this, assign it to the American corporations that have taken away American jobs and sent them to China.
Well, exactly. I mean, nobody put a gun to these people's heads to make them give them to Beijing.
Look at Walmart.
Oh, God, I hate that place. I won't even go near that store. As far as I'm concerned, that store is an abomination. I mean, talk about the Antichrist. I think it's the Walter Brothers, to tell you the truth. But that's just the way I feel about those people. I mean, and this $170 million fine they've been hit for not giving people their lunch break, they'll get out of it.
Well, it's a judgment. It was a judgment that was handed down by a trial court jury. It's going to go to appeal. It'll probably wind up in the Supreme Court because Walmart doesn't care how much money they spend. Because, it all writes off. These people are masters of not paying taxes. It goes back to the whole life insurance scam that they were running some years back and got caught in. That you know, it's nothing. $172 million, so what if they spend $10 million appealing it to the Supreme Court? It comes out a net gain, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, to them, it is an acceptable loss. But, I mean, when they come into a town and half their employees have to go on public assistance because they don't pay decent benefits, and then they, of course, pull the stuff that they do, and yet these people continue to go there, I don't see how they can go there and spend their money in good conscience. I couldn't.
It's a grim and miserable place. You know, we've got a brand new one coming up, opening very soon, not ten miles from where I sit tonight, over at over in Fayetteville, and you know the new Lowe's parking lot is just chock-a-block full. You would think it was the opening of a new palace, the way that we people respond to the opening of one of these new mega centers. It's disgusting.
Well, it's real sad. You know, I understand this town at one time had a downtown and a main street. It was just absolutely wonderful to behold. And now it's just basically a hollow shell. And it's because of things like Walmart, you know? And, you know, the local merchants have just gone out of business. And, you know, I was watching this program on the Antichrist last night. And I'm not trying to get too far afield here.
No, I saw the same program.
You did?
And yeah.
How people thought the chain stores were the Antichrist?
Yeah. And the barcodes were the Antichrist. The Social Security Administration was the Antichrist. Ronald Wilson Reagan with 666 digits in his name was the Antichrist. Sure.
But one thing about that, you know, that Englishman Darby, now there is something that Paul said in his letter to Thessalonians about the rapture. Now that's just not from Darby. That is mentioned by, that is in the book of one of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians.
Oh, Paul didn't. You know, if you read Paul closely, Paul didn't expect to see his own death. He expected to be caught up in the clouds, you know, day after tomorrow, the way he writes.
Well, I have my problems with Pauline theology, you know, and I don't like this the way he wrote about women and things like that. You know, I had difficult folks with Pauline theology. I thought I would mention that in passing, as far as chain stores being the Antichrist, but as far as I'm concerned, they are the Antichrist of our commercial world. I mean, some of them, at least that one is Walmart. My God. I mean, that thing's just a monolith or a megalith or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, your song for Mr. Smith, that was just, when I sort of woke up and heard that, I said, who in the world is that?
You thought there were cats fighting in your backyard, didn't you?
Somebody who was probably doing drag, a real bad version of Liz Taylor, trying to do karaoke. Or
oh, you'll have. I think Rhino, R-H-I-N-O, the Rhino label has reissued Mrs. Miller in her entirety. If you get a chance, you know, it's worth having in the collection, Jim.
I would dare say.
If only for the kitsch.
And what other songs did you do?
Offhand, the two that I remember are These Boots Were Made for Walking, which you heard, and a rendition of Hard Day's Night that will just, it'll destroy your hearing, your sensory apparatus altogether.
Well, I've got one more for you, and I'll leave you in peace.
All right.
Lust in the Dust.
Say again?
You've seen a movie called Lust in the Dust?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Well, I mean, I have heard Divine sing, and she sang better than that. But Divine did a song in her cabaret act to the town of Chile Verde.
Yep.
And something, the lyrics were like, these lips were made for kissing, these hips were made for bliss, and these arms were made for holding you every night, oh, lay out of sight. And to hear her sing that, on that note, people are going to think I'm just nuts, but I don't care.
That's all right, Jim. We appreciate it. You have a great night, all right?
Well, I'll go take my medication now.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Yeah, Mrs. Miller, there was another wonderful disc out there about the same time. Sebastian, remember Sebastian Cabot and Mr. French on Family Affair? Sebastian Cabot, actor, reads Bob Dylan, poet. No collection is complete without that. Let's take a quick break, and I want to come, yeah, the terrorism in America. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
shackles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. 25 after. Just a couple of minutes here to hit a couple of high points for you. What I said before the break, domestic terrorism, domestic terrorist attacks. I got two for you. The first one, Dateline Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport fire investigators today, this goes back to the 22nd. Asked the public for help in finding the people who threw a firebomb outside an abortion clinic. Security camera videotape released by investigators shows a car pull into the parking lot and a woman get out on the passenger side. She's seen throwing the device at the clinic and then fleeing. That is domestic terrorism. Pure and simple. But, you know, you gotta remember... Eric Rudolph, remember Eric Rudolph? the Olympic bomber, but he was definitely a bomber of abortion clinics, nightclubs, was finally caught and convicted, and the Bush administration didn't, I don't want to be hypocritical here, but the death penalty was available. And the Bush administration chose to let this man off with life in prison. You know, I have no sympathy for that. If you're going to have it, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Eric Rudolph had been a black man? The ropes would already have been thrown over the tree limbs before he got to court. Now, out of the news report, no arrests have been made. And of course, the anti-woman industry won't turn these people in. They'll protect their own. They did the same with Eric Rudolph. You know, the sanctuary idea. She's just doing God's work. So, you know, please understand when you hear Dear Leader talk about the tursts, understand that there are tursts and there are tursts. Some tursts are more equal than other tursts. And as long as they're bombing abortion clinics and tormenting women, or, you know, maybe a security guard who works there or something like that, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, you take it to its logical extreme. If Osama was bombing abortion clinics in the United States, he'd get a medal. He would. He'd absolutely get a medal. You're absolutely right, dear.
He'd get the Medal of Freedom.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah. But this woman, I mean, you know, is she not willing to strap the bomb on and go and give her life for that of the unborn fetus?
She's needed to fight more abortion clinics.
She's needed to fight more abortion clinics. So she takes the chicken's way out and throws it and runs.
Right.
They never caught the anthrax guy either, did they?
No. Hmm. They're cowards, sweetheart. Pure and simple cowards. You know, I remember when Bill Maher got pulled off the air from his ABC television program for saying, you know, call the 9/11 people who terrorists who flew the planes into the buildings, call them anything you want to, but do not call them cowards. There's nothing cowardly. No. Religiously insane? Absolutely. But that was not a cowardly act. The cowardly act is when you don't have the guts to strap it on yourself and stand there and blow it up. That's cowardly. And no, I'm not advocating that. I'll tell you, let's take our break. We'll come back and talk about this some more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke,
You may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Downhill to 10 o'clock, downhill toward the close of tonight's program. Thanks, everybody, for being around. I do appreciate it. So does Agnes. And, hey to the listeners at radiopower.org tomorrow. Thank you as well. During the break, I was able to find what it was that Jim was referring to, and I hadn't caught this one. This does not have to do with Jack Abramoff. This has to do with Kenny Boy Lay. Enron's former chief accounting officer, Richard Causey, has struck a plea bargain with federal prosecutors and will avoid going to trial with the fallen energy companies, yada, yada. He's expected to plead guilty tomorrow to one or more of the 34 criminal charges pending against him and will testify against Kenny Boy Lay and Jeffrey Skilling in exchange for a reduced prison sentence. The lead attorney for Kenny Boy Lay, Michael Ramsey, didn't have much to say publicly, although you can imagine probably what he was saying privately. Causey could be more damaging to Lay and Skilling than former Enron finance chief Andrew Fastow, who joined the government's cadre of cooperating witnesses when he pleaded guilty to two counts of conspiracy in January 2004. Unlike his former peer, Causey didn't skim millions of dollars for himself from shady deals and therefore will bring less baggage to the witness stand. In other words, he'll just sing the song.
Yes.
Backing up for just a moment, now I told you about the firebombing. And bear in mind, I want to be as candid as possible. The abortion clinic in Shreveport, Louisiana, was not harmed. Apparently, these boobs aren't quite competent enough to make the bombs work yet. But that's not to say that they're not practicing. You know, if in the process of practicing, they blow themselves and a few of their followers up, I'm not going to get broken up about it. It's what they get for playing, you know, for playing with fire, isn't it? And but also next door, just to the east in Mississippi, Mississippi's only abortion clinic is waiting to hear whether it will be granted a new state certification to continue performing its full range of procedures. See, that's how it is with the morally bankrupt, ethically dead pro-life movement when they can't win playing by the... And it's the way they look. You know, let's be equal opportunity about this. Any of these people on that side, they cannot win by playing by the rules. And when the rules don't suit them, they change the rules. Or, as in the case with the Bush administration, you know, this just proves that it all goes from the top down. Can't play by the rules? Either change them or ignore them. And down in Mississippi, once again, as the legislative session gets underway. Now just stop and think for a minute. This is going to be the first legislative session the state of Mississippi has had since Hurricane Katrina. So I would assume that there is a little bit of work to be done. Right. So even though there's a ton of work to be done, the anti-women people down there are pushing for a bill referred to by one listener as a womb with a view that would require a doctor to have women see a fetal ultrasound imaging and listen to the heartbeat of the fetus. Okay? So that's what we're dealing with. This is just disgusting. This is terrorism too. The use of intimidation to achieve legislative ends. That's terrorism, pure and simple. Because what do they do? Well, you know, we saw it happen here in West Virginia. The West Virginians for life have gotten so emboldened that they feel they can tell candidates for the legislature who may and may not run around here. And that is, you know, that's brass bound stuff, isn't it? Sure it is. So we've got terrorist bombings in Louisiana. We've got legislative terrorism in Mississippi. And this the abortion clinic faces new hurdle. What they've done is they've changed the rules for what procedures can be performed where. It's a requirement to it's probably unconstitutional because it's an ex post facto law that says abortion after 13 weeks gestation can't be performed in facilities that don't have ambulatory care. And of course, Republican Governor Haley Barbour wants another law. You know, why is Haley Barbour interested in abortion? He's a guy. He's never had to have one. You know, if you're against it, don't have them. Pretty simple.
Can you say HCA children?
Well, yeah.
I bet you could.
Yeah, HCA, Healthcare Corporation of America. Bill Frist's outfit. Bill Frist has made more money on abortion than any other single individual in the United States. Well, Bill Frist and his family. But they're godly, and they rush to videotape, diagnose people by videotape. Whew, scary. Oh, and this is what we do in the last half hour of the program, just hit a few high points here and there. Anybody remember Richard Mellon Scaife? Anybody remember Richard Mellon Scaife? This is the guy who bankrolled the entire Arkansas Project. The sleazy attempt to chase down anything to do with Bill Clinton. What was later described as the trailing of $100 bills through trailer parks in Arkansas. That Richard Mellon Scaife, you know, enough money to burn whole herds of sopping wet elephants. That Richard owns the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Heir to the entire Mellon banking fortune. Well, wouldn't you like to? You know, you got to hope this shows up on Cops. The estranged wife, this from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The estranged wife of the publisher of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review was arrested Friday and charged with defiant trespass after refusing to leave her husband's Shady Side residence. Pittsburgh police say they were called to the home of Richard Mellon Scaife at 5201 Westminster Place at about 7 p.m. last Friday. Mr. Scaife called police because his wife, Richie Scaife, was pounding on doors and peeking in windows. Wait a minute. This guy's a Bushista. He shouldn't mind someone pounding on his doors and peeking in his windows. That's the very definition of the national security state that George Bush has wrought. But, you know, when it's your estranged wife, I guess it's a little bit different. When police arrived, Mrs. Scaife, who was in the backyard, was told to leave, and she did, but only for about 15 minutes until the cops left. Then she came back and refused officers' orders to leave. She was arrested, charged with defiant trespass, and released on her own recognizance. Hearing scheduled day after tomorrow, Thursday. Aw, do we have any Pittsburgh listeners? I gotta have a follow-up on this one. You know, was this Mrs. Scaife all, was this a matter of Mrs. Scaife being a little too full of the holiday wassail? You know, she is, after all, estranged, and, you know, you get the wassail. Yes, dear.
Well, it's the kind of thing that, I mean, you know, so what if somebody was peeking and watching? Was there something going on that they didn't want seen? It's like what you said. This is a republic now. Or is it like Nazi Germany?
That's entirely your call. But, you know, I love stories like this. I love seeing the rich and the well put together have problems just like us hoi polloi do. Let me in there, Dick. You haven't made your alimony payment this month, you scum. Let me in. I know she's in there with you. I know Ann Coulter's in there.
That's enough for that, Bob.
Because,
Well, she's like Victoria, remember?
Well,
yeah. Beat on the plane door.
but it is fun. You know, like I said, whether it's Pittsburgh, whether it's Mississippi, whether it's Shreveport, Louisiana, we've Australia. There's nowhere that this program doesn't reach, and there is no scope to this program that we won't touch. Now, you know, admittedly, some of the things that are nearest and dearest to our hearts are those things that are nearest and dearest to our hearths. Mountaintop removal. You know, that matters because that process, that practice, extends far out into America beyond the hills and hollers of West Virginia. But when we catch Repiglicans behaving like Repiglicans anywhere, and to be fair, I might be entirely off base with Mrs. Scaife. I mean, would you want to be married to Richard Mellon Scaife? On a dare, would you be married to Richard Mellon Scaife? No. You know, only for the money, and apparently the money wasn't enough. So I don't know if Richie Scaife is a wingnut too, or you know, if Richard was in there a rompin', you know, dead girl, live boy, that thing. I don't know. But if we've got any listeners in and around Pittsburgh, an update would be more than welcome. And we would certainly appreciate it. Let's take a quick break and then take it home. This is Head On. Well, you know who I am. Well, last chance to get your licks in. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
So a little bit ago, I shared with you the article, White House recruited Clintonites to get out Iraq message, and we talked about this turncoat Peter Fever, sleazy turncoat, who helped put together the 35-page junior high school annual that was called Our National Strategy for Victory in Iraq. Remember that? You know, Bush talked about it in the speech. He argued that Americans want to be convinced that the war effort would succeed, an administration source said. So Fever put in the word victory in every Bush speech as well as in the NSC document. Well, you see, you know, that's the moral and the intellectual equivalent of Gerald Ford's whip inflation now buttons. You know, red buttons, white lettering said win. Remember that? Well, this is the same thing. I don't care how many times turncoat Peter Fever puts a victory into Dear Leader speeches, it's not going to overcome things like this from WJLA.com, ABC7 News. This is from the Associated Press. Jamila Abbas says her youngest son, Issa, was the flower of the house 3 months ago. She bathed him, helped him get dressed, combed his hair, and sprayed him with perfume before the six-year-old left with his father for Syria. Nearly 4 hours later, her husband called to say their son was mistakenly killed, 6 years old, by U.S. fire, becoming one of the many Iraqis who die simply for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The last time Abbas saw her son, he was excited about traveling with his father, a driver, on a work trip to Syria. Dad will take me to the amusement park, he said. I feel like he's not coming back to me. It's the feeling of a mother. But he was happy, Abbas recalled. He was always with me. He went to the market with me, she added. Now I feel lonely. When she saw her son's body, Abbas slapped her face, beat her chest, and ripped off her flowing robe. She wailed and sobbed as U.S. troops tried to calm her. It is a mistake. We didn't mean to kill the child. We will do anything you want, she said, they told her. They apologized, but I didn't accept their apology. Ali, her other son, was wounded in the attack. He is now like a mad person. It is like something got into his head. He stopped going to school. Abbas said she cannot forgive those responsible for Ayas's death. I feel like I want to drink the blood of those who killed my son, she said. I want to kill them the way they killed him and the way they killed me. So, Peter Fever, buddy, you ex-Democrat, you dirtbag, you filthy, vile piece of scum, Peter Fever. You keep on writing victory in dear leader's speeches. You just keep on doing it. But remember, ladies like Abbas are out there, and no matter how much you tell the American people we're going to win, sweetheart, we've already lost. You go to hell, Peter Fever. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, your head on.
Hey, I didn't know, you know. I don't know how I managed to come in on that one.
Sorry.
You know, what can I say?
It makes me crazy. This guy was an advisor in the Clinton White House, and he's gone to work for the dark side?
Well, you have to remember, none of these people have any honor, which is, brings me to my point. I think that, we ought to seriously consider putting Ken Lay in protective custody. I mean, did you just say Abramoff's going to rat him out?
No. Abramoff's not ratting him out. This is a guy named Causey who's ratting him out.
Who's ratting out Ken Lay?
Yeah.
Okay. I still think, do you know what? I mean, Ken, I don't know if you saw him on television trying to defend himself, Ken Lay.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that.
He's not a stable man. I mean, if he thinks he's going to, just think of the things that he can tell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be a fly on the wall for that conversation, Wayne.
Well, exactly. I mean, this guy, and which this impeachment thing is really, in my mind, is really going to build. You know, it's because it's the whole, the attitude, the corruption is just, I mean, they actually and truly believe that they're above the law, and they've told all their friends, you could do anything you want. We're in charge now. We are above the law.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And, this whole thing of corruption, it's all going to fall down. And I think that you're going to see, over the next few months, more and more Republicans jumping on this bandwagon because they want to save their butt for 2006.
Well, it may be that it's too touchy for an election year, but I want to promise. And I send this out to the incumbent Democrats from West Virginia and any other state for that matter, Wayne. I think people should extract this promise. I want to promise that when we retake the House, I want to promise, for instance, from my Congressman Nick Rahal, I want an absolute promise, as I'm sure you probably do as well, that he will get on board with impeachment. And whoever we run in the second congressional district against Arch Moore's daughter, whoever we run against her, I want to promise from the stump that he will be amenable to that, or she.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. But what I'm talking about, the Republicans are running for election.
Yeah, I know.
That they are going to have to start, I would say, talking about this, mentioning this in the hopes that that will give them something to be reelected by.
Okay, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I
do.
I mean, well, they're out to, what's the most important thing to all these people is to get reelected. Their own butt is more important than
anything else in the world.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, this Ken Lay guy, I mean, he starts flapping and he's gonna. He was at them energy meetings, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, he was.
He was, right. And he knows who was there and who did what and who said what.
And he knows which closets have which skeletons.
Well, that's exactly right. That's why, I think, can we send somebody to go watch him?
Yeah, well, just, don't allow him on any small single-engine aircraft or anything like that.
Yeah, there you go. But, and that guy that wrote for Barron's, I guess, now what do you say, Wall Street Journal owns that?
Right.
And Barron's is a financial magazine or something?
Correct.
Okay.
Very conservative.
Yes. Yes. I would say that, wouldn't you think that he had the Wall Street Journal's approval to write that?
At some level, I would think he would have to.
Yeah, I kind of think that.
I mean, they're separate creatures, but the Journal owns them, and, I don't think that he'd stay in the job long if he went off the reservation like that very often.
No, I don't think so either. And when people like that, that's a very bad sign for George. I don't know if he can recognize that or not.
I don't even know if George is in the same world with us anymore, Ryan.
That's true, too. Well, the real president knows what it means.
Yeah, and I got a story in the stack here about how those installable defibrillators they put in your chest?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them are defective, and they didn't bother to tell anybody.
Oh, he got one of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, he got one of them.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe they better go look at the serial number. I don't know. Oh, God. Anyway, it's pretty interesting, you know.
It is. I want to watch this whole House of Cards completely collapse, and I want to watch it in slow motion.
Well, now, am I correct in that the House doesn't come back till like the end of January?
Yeah.
I read somewhere that was they're doing that to try to give delay time.
Precisely.
Right. Yeah.
They're doing this completely against the House rules, but we don't need no stinking rules.
No, we don't. We can make them up or change them whenever we
want. Or just not follow them.
Right. Or you guys make them, okay? But we're not going to follow them.
Great work if you can get it.
Yeah. Exactly.
We got to get out of here, Wayne.
Okay, boss.
Later, brother.
All right, man. Bye.
See ya. All right. The show tonight was produced by the lovely and talented and not feeling quite so good, Agnes. I got to quit dropping these stories on her at the end of the show. Brian Reznor announced the program. Randy Kerbway engineered our studio setup. Our good, good friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream. It's his efforts that make sure that you can get online and listen every night. He also archives this and many other fine liberal talk radio programs. By all means, go by WhiteRoseSociety.org. Have a look at all the other offerings, and also, if you've got it, support. Give Ben your financial support. He needs it. He does this all without charging any money, and it would be nice for it to stay that way, wouldn't it? The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.